Hey, this is James Jeffries here, Impact Pro Wrestling Heavyweight Champion, and you're listening to Uncharted Territory. The best wrestling stories and wrestling news are on this podcast. Check us out, brother.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Uncharted Territory podcast. My name is Chad Olson, coming tonight from Gilbert, Iowa, where I swear, fellas, look, oh, you can't read. It's 69 degrees on What the Forecast. It says it's effing cloud and mild. Let's get crazy and get kitten tattoos. We'll probably regret later. Well, you're not going to regret listening to this episode, though, because it's going to be a good one. We got a lot of good audio. It is overcast, rainy. It's been kind of the story of the spring around here. But let's go around the room here and see what's up. First of all, I got a report that Stuart is out on assignment. He's doing some assessment of some property in Outer Mongolia, looking to build a summer cabin there. So we'll get a report on that next week. Let's see. Tim, how are you doing? Tim in Buffalo, New York. Tim Dalton.
I'm doing well. I've also heard Stu is trying to get an importing-exporting business going for black tights and black boots. So we'll see how that goes for him.
Straight out of Denmark.
Yep. Well, they need him in Denmark, you know, so that's, you know, he's just trying to help out, but, yeah, things here in Buffalo are good. It, was about 70, 72 degrees today. It, was very cloudy and a little bit rainy in the morning, but then cleared up and I got out, played a couple rounds park golf today, which was great. You know, had a few other people on the course, which is always good to see. So that was nice. League is going to start here before this drops on Wednesday night. So we'll see how that goes. But looking forward to it and looking forward to the episode here tonight.
All right. Corey Olson, how are you doing, my baby brother?
I'm doing fine, big brother. Weather here in the Twin Cities Maplewood area, I cannot tell a lie. As of 7:11 p.m., it is also 69 degrees.
Whoa!
I know, right? We're getting a little smoke here in Minnesota from the Canadian fires. But otherwise it's beautiful out. You know, great. It was a great weekend, very nice and sunny and warm. And looking like the rest of the week, yeah, kind of about the same, maybe some rain later in the week. But yeah, it's good weather. Can't complain about that. And I can't complain about this episode because we got a guest with us and we got some great audio and we got some great times. And it's just great.
You know, with that smoke, it's like I always say, nothing good comes from Canada.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
I thought you were going to say where there's smoke, there's fire.
We could also say that.
Yeah. I think Steve Minskoff said that. All right. Well, we have one of our guests here tonight. We might have a second guest. We might have a late run in, but for now, we have one guest and we're honored to have him from Phil Singer Games, Mike Molesky. How are you doing, Mike?
Well, I see. When I thought when there was smoke, it was from Canada. Thought that was the Minskoff there, but
no,
sorry, I missed that one. No, the really happy to be on the show, happy to give a weather forecast. We had 70s here in the greater Philadelphia area today, very nice, pleasant, the only pleasant day of the week, I think, so far. I think we're hoping for partly cloudy on Friday as an uptick, but no, things are great down here. Glad to be with you guys, glad to beyond the show. I noticed that Stu ran away. I was afraid that that developer got him, but I'm glad to hear he's on assignment instead. You know, should be a good show.
I think so. All right. And fans, as we speak right now, I'm also doing some live play testing with Gary Albright stats. testing out that big plus five finisher and minus five power to see if that's where we need to go, or if we need to bump that up a bit and give him a little more juice. So we'll have a, I guess you'll see what happens when it happens on the card when you get the card.
So I would go for a minus six power.
Oh, that's a good one. That's a good one. I mean, he was a big man. He was a big man. He once body slammed the entire Chikara roster at once.
Mm-hmm.
The real question is, does he have a minus three or minus four agility?
Minus one, because he's an opening card guy.
Oh, I forgot that. Yeah, sorry.
Yeah. So, all right, here we go. So what's new in the land of Phil Singer Games? Well, there's been a couple announcements about the new Champions of the Galaxy set. They're kind of vague because Tom, you know, has got some big stuff going on here, so we don't want to give anything away. And by say we, I mean Tom, because we don't know anything about it. I think Mike might know a little bit about it. Maybe he started proofreading, but he's sworn to secrecy. He does have a mask with a zipper on right now, and it has a padlock on it. It's kind of weird. Maybe that's from something else, actually.
Well, I'll just say that I am under what's the word? I'm under quarantine now. I don't know what the right word is, but
lock and key.
Yeah, something. I will say that it's big. It's big, and I understand.
People. Is it as big as Gary Albright with his minus seven power?
It might be. It might be that big. No, I know some people are frustrated by not more information coming out, and I totally understand it as a game fan. Having now, you know, seen something, I can understand why Tom is reticent to leak too much too quickly. But I think that it's definitely it's big enough to understand why he was trying to be secretive. I'll just say
it'll be worth the wait. That's what you're trying to say.
Without getting into trouble. Yes.
All right. Well, that's good. It's good to, I mean, you know, hey, I just try to be positive and place my trust in stuff. So good but for that.
Bounty Hunter will be unmasked this summer.
Okay. And I'm going to pass on one thing I was saying for shout outs, but I'm going to say it right now. Today is May 13th, the 40th anniversary of Rick Martel winning the AWA world title from Jumbo Sharuta in St. Paul, Minnesota. One of the first AWA matches this young lad watched. So I'm excited for, Mr. Martel. I'd like to relive that moment forever. Doesn't mean we have Rick Martel signed, because if we did, we'd already have a card where his agility would only be rivaled by that of Gary Albright's at minus seven. So,
well, yes, Mike? I was going to say, I almost thought we were going to sign Jumbo Sarudo at one point.
I tried.
I had a couple weeks there where I thought I might have a hot lead on that, but it hasn't happened yet. So, you know,
I've communicated with his son, but the problem is his son doesn't communicate back. So it's more like me talking to myself with his son involved. So
did you sign him when you talked to yourself?
I did. I forged a signature. I am fluent in writing in Japanese. Some may not know that, but anywho, yes. Yeah, so congratulations to Rick Martel some 40 odd years later. Tonight, our main topic is going to be a replay of the interview that I did with Rock Riddle at the Road to Galacticon. And, you know, with Rock Riddle, you really don't need to interview him much, because you just kind of, you know, ask him maybe four questions in 45 minutes and let him go. But I thought it was kind of interesting. He went down some Rock Riddle rabbit holes. But overall, a few people said they liked it. Everybody else is either not talking to me or must have hated it. But we're not looking for kudos. But Corey, will you cue up the Rock Riddle interview and hit that button now? Okay, well, Legends fans, we're extremely excited to have the original Mr. Wonderful, Rock Riddle, with us here today at the Phil Singer Games Road to Galacticon on May 5th, 2024. Rock is somebody that I met probably 10 years ago or so at the CAC. The first time I ever saw Rock Riddle, he had won the CAC Battle Royal.
Yes.
Then the following year, he took a bump that I thought killed him when he was thrown over the top rope, flat back to the floor. And ever since then, I went up to him and said, "That was amazing, sir." And it's been a great time getting to know him. I've attended CACs with him. He's been a guest out of the Trail Says Hall of Fame the last few years. And, you know, along the way, we got him a card in the Legend of Wrestling game, as well as someone of his status should be. Mr. Riddle, thank you for being with us here today.
Well, you're very welcome. Should I do my official introduction now?
I think you should, because I couldn't write fast enough when you practice. So I think you should go ahead, please.
Direct from his palatial estate, high in the hills of Hollywood, California, we present to you, live and in person, the first, the only, the original Mr. Wonderful of professional wrestling. That's right, the diamond ring and Cadillac man, the man who possesses the body that men fear and women love, the intercontinental lover, the Rolls Royce of wrestling, four-time Hall of Famer, Rock Riddle. See, now I'm impressed.
That was wonderful. That was outstanding. Yes, I could certainly have not have done that justice. So thank you for pitching in and introducing yourself, sir.
It was simply wonderful. Oh, my gosh. Isn't that the title, you ask? Isn't that Rock Riddle the title of your upcoming book, Simply Wonderful?
You really just gave away the last question I had, but let's flip things on its head and start with the last. Please tell us about your upcoming book, Simply Wonderful, The Rock Riddle Story.
What book?
Oh, okay.
Well, for so many years, people have said, what a fantastic life you have led. You've had like five, six lifetimes crammed into one, and you need to write a book. And my response was, yeah. And people continued. And then people whom I very much admire, almost, well, I should say, including heroes of mine in this professional wrestling business, they said the same thing. Things that I thought were, oh, that was nice. You know, wrestling Andre the Giant dozens of times. Yeah, that was good. But, you know, it's been done before. Wait, to people who have never been in the ring with Andre the Giant, that's got to be a super big deal. The titles I've won, the places I've been, the impossible things that I have done in my life, things that even I look back and say, yeah, that was another impossible thing. As a pilot, I'm an aircraft pilot also. In addition to everything else, oh my gosh, Rock, is there anything you don't do? See, as an aircraft pilot, we know that bumblebees cannot fly. They are aerodynamically unsound. Their bodies are way too big, too fat. Can we still say fat? Oh my gosh, I remember. I'm sorry, I'm old school. I come from a time when there was something that was, well, people liked it. They thought it had value, something in the country, and it's been so long, it's hard to remember what exactly they called it. Started with f. Oh yeah. Freedom of speech. Remember when that used to exist in this country, on this planet? Wow, I still think it does. Anyhow, what was I just talking about? Anything in particular? Yes, bumblebees. They are aerodynamically unsound, according to all known aeronautical knowledge, all known scientific knowledge. The bodies are too big. The wings are too small. If you built an exact duplicate, turned it on, it's going to get bzzzt directly into the ground. They cannot fly. The kicker is that bumblebees do not know that they cannot fly, so they fly anyway. Had I bought into the, how would we say this, the programming that's going on all the time, had I bought into everyone else's feeling of lack and impossibilities, I would have said, oh, it's impossible for a kid who weighs 132 pounds to become a professional wrestler, an incredibly shy kid whose greatest fear in the world was, second greatest fear was to be called on in school and have to answer a question aloud. And the greatest fear was that this kid, this very shy kid, sitting in the back of the room, attempting to hide, that the teacher would say, Rock, come up to the front and answer this question, because I knew I would physically die before I got to the front of the room. How can someone like that, maybe say on my 16th birthday, I made the decision I was going to be a professional wrestler. And there was no doubt once I made the decision. And the story is longer than we have time on this show. We could go for days and days talking about things. My gosh, Rock, you've got enough information. You could write a book. It would be called Simply Wonderful. Or Rock Riddle's Simply Wonderful, to be exact. What else did you want to know? Well, let's see. We're talking about bumblebees. They cannot fly. We cannot be successful because we've been told we cannot. We're taking a kid who weighs 132 pounds and who wrestled on 135-pound weight class in high school, college. And after I said, yes, I will become a professional wrestler, and people laughed at me, I laughed right back at them because they don't understand. They never understood with their limited thinking. I was not telling them, oh, someday, hopefully, this is my dream. No, this was a commitment. This was a fact. And there was no such thing as a plan B because failure was not an option. I never doubted that I would achieve it. I told one person that, a barber, when I was 16, sitting in his barber chair. 5 years later, and of course at 135 pounds, something like that. 5 years later, I had already been wrestling professionally for a while, year or two, year and a half. I was back in his barber chair after the night before defeating the ex-heavyweight champion of the world, George Becker, one of the most amazing people in the professional wrestling business and in the Carolinas in the South. The joke was, you don't know who George Becker is? What's the matter, you boy? You don't go to church on Sunday? Not that I would make fun of the people where I grew up. But I wrestled George Becker. I beat him in the middle of the room, in the middle of the ring. It was a full house plus. We turned people away. I started a little mini riot because I didn't defeat him fairly and squarely. I pulled out some nasty things. I'm sitting in the barber chair the next day, front page newspaper story and stuff, and the police there called out. They called to the surrounding counties thinking that they need help with this riot. It was under control. It was just the beginning. I know how to control it, even back then. So the next day, I'm sitting in the barber chair of this barber who said, 5 years earlier, he said, you ought to just get yourself a job like your daddy. He's been a working in a drugstore since he's 14. I mean, heck, fire. Why'd you ever? I don't know why anybody want to leave the county. You got everything you want right here. He's going to have that house paid for in about another 8 years. I said, well, you should just settle down and get yourself a job like him. Yes. Glorified soda jerk in a drugstore. In a pharmacy, but not a pharmacist. Someone who just eked his way by and who was afraid to take chances, as so many people are. Anyway, I'm sitting in the barber chair, 236 pounds of twisted steel and sex appeal, and just defeated. Yes, I did. If you say, what's wrong with my sound? He said, sex appeal. Was that by design? 236 pounds, and I just beat their ultimate hero the night before. He has his clippers in one hand, his shears in the other. He's standing behind me, and he's not doing anything. And then he walks, he puts them down, he walks in front of me. He said, dang, boy, that's amazing. I didn't think, man, you done it. Heck, I don't think nothing's impossible no more. And I said, bingo. If you think it's impossible, it's impossible. Whether you think you can or whether you think you cannot, you are absolutely correct. So anyway, right. was that a question you asked me? I gave you an answer, or did I just take over?
No, I mean, it's a little of both, but I expect nothing less from you. So you did talk about growing up in North Carolina. Yes. And, you know, can you share with the group here then, who are some of the folks that influenced you to get into professional wrestling, which ignited that passion for professional wrestling that you watched in the Jim Crockett Promotions Mid-Atlantic area?
Right. I was 14 years old, junior high school, attempting to hide at the back of the room. The class had not started because the teacher was a little late getting there. So all the guys, they're pushing each other and doing all the stuff, but they're complaining. They say, at Rip Hawk and Sweet Hansen, them wrestlers, they shouldn't be allowed to wrestle. Man, I wish I could find one of them. I'd run over him with my tractor. Okay. So they truly hated these two people, Rip mm-hmm. Hawk and Sweet Hansen. And for sake of brevity, I just refer to Rip for a moment. So why how can they hate someone so much? I had no idea what professional wrestling was. So I knew, though, that the following Saturday at 11 o'clock in the morning that there would be live professional wrestling. I'm sitting down on the middle of an oriental rug Saturday morning. I've got to see, how can anyone hate that much? And it's Charlie Harville who's announcing. And here it's opening with something I had a lot of difficulty understanding. There was George Becker and Johnny Weaver, two good guys, the two heroes, and they had someone, a regular person, a female, just maybe a little bit older than me, maybe 15, and she was the president of their fan club. And I don't get it. So she's on there making a presentation. She presents them with a great big radio and a plaque of appreciation. And I'm saying, she's not a movie star. She's not a television star. She's a normal person. Normal people don't get on television. I don't get it. And she had two of her friends there who are also like 14, 15, something like that. So as I'm trying to figure this out, because I really don't think normal people did not think that normal people could get on television. You've got to be some kind of a star. So I see, after the presentation is made, I see this bigger than life, bleached blonde, suntan, bad guy, Rip Hawk. Rip Hawk comes out and he says, "Hey, excuse me, Weaver." And Johnny Weaver's looking at him. And Rip says, "Hey, this fan club thing, that's really cool, man. You got a fan club. And do you mind if could I see what they gave you as a gift?" Johnny Weaver's very reluctant. He's not going to, he doesn't trust Rip Hawk, nor should he. Mm-hmm. And finally, Rip keeps at him, and Johnny Weaver very reluctantly hands him this big plastic radio. And then Rip does this. Boom! He crushes it down into about 100 pieces on that cement floor and then stomps the larger pieces, and there's this melee that happens. And I'm sitting there like this. Wow. Wow. I said, "Rip Hawk, sweet handsome. Cocky, condescending, arrogant. Finally, I have role models." So I decided, you see, this shy kid never got any attention. I needed attention, but I was afraid of attention. So it's just like a little kid. If they can't get positive attention, they'll get negative attention. So I decided, what can I do? What can I do that would be clever, funny, but people would hate it because they're not smart enough to see the humor in it? I'll start a fan club. I'll start a fan club for the most hated person on the planet. Who's that? Adolf Hitler? No. How about someone who's more hated? How about Rip Hawk? So I started a fan club for Rip Hawk and Sweet Hansen. Mm-hmm. And the fan club card I had put together. And there's another story about taking that to the printer and how I had instructions as to what size everything should be. And the printer just said, "Tell you what, let me take care of it. And if you don't like it, I'll do it over." There's no way he could have followed those instructions. And
mm-hmm.
It said the motto was fair, square, modest, and honest. That's funny. Very now, good. Here I am with a couple of my little friends. I only had a few friends. And I'm at the Greensboro Coliseum.
Mm-hmm.
I'm near the dressing room doors, and I think they go down. So I'm seeing the wrestlers go into the dressing room. And that's pretty cool. I'm standing far enough away, and then I have my little fan club card out. The announcer comes over to me. He says, mm-hmm. "What do you have there?" I said, I got a card. He says, "Oh, Rip Hawk, Sweet Hansen fan club. Could I see it?" "Well, sir, and by that time it's in his hands. I never got a chance to answer. He said, "Stay right here. I'm going to take this down and show it to Rip Hawk. I hope he sees the humor." because I never asked him for permission.
Right.
Little kid. And I'm looking, I said, "Should I run? I don't know. Maybe I should run because he may be really upset with me." Ripoc comes out, comes up to me. I don't know if he could see me shaking.
Shaking.
Shaking, shaking, shaking. I was going to say shimmering, but this is shimmer. This is shake. So he came over. He says, "Hey, kid." He said, "Yes, sir." "This fan club thing." "Yes, sir." "You serious about that, kid?"
"Well, sir, it was just..."
"Because if you're serious, I'll help you. I'll get pictures of Sweden myself. My ultimate hero not only is talking to me, but is willing to help me. Mm-hmm. And I'm this unworthy, super shy, skinny little kid. Wow. So many things in my life never made sense until I became wise enough to look back and say, makes total sense. Mm-hmm. Now, I would keep going back. I think when I was 15, Rip Hawk, I'm back at the Greensboro Coliseum again. And Rip says, "So, kid, what do you want to be when you grow up?" I said, "Well, I'm not really sure yet." So now I'm not intimidated. Now it's just this big monster is my friend. He said, Rip said, "Want to be a wrestler, kid?" Okay, I'm standing there still about 135 pounds maximum.
Mm-hmm.
I said, "Well, sir, I'm not really..." He says, "Think you could do it, kid?" Gosh, I'd only have to gain 100 pounds because, you know, back then the small guys were 235. I said, "Well, sir..." He says, "I think you can do it." Holy mackerel, my ultimate hero.
Mm-hmm.
Cocky, condescending, arrogant, the person who was my role model. He said he thought I could do it. He's one of the most brilliant people, was one of the most brilliant people in this business. He was booking for Crockett. He was just, mm-hmm. He's amazing, amazing, amazing. I could tell you a lot of other things, but that's how I got inspired. Ask me who trained me.
That was actually my next on the list. Who trained you then? Yourself.
I'm the only person I know in this business who trained himself.
Okay.
What I did is I watched the people I thought were brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
I did tributes to so many people. I took mm-hmm. a little from Jack Briscoe, one of the greatest wrestlers ever.
Right.
Got Jack Briscoe stories. I've got stories we can go for days and days and days. I took a fair amount from Rip Hawk and Sweet Hands. And I even asked Rip, because I showed up one day with my hair instead of being dark. Mm-hmm. Just like I used to keep it dyed dark. No, I came in with sort of orangish hair. I mm-hmm. tried to make it his color, tried to be blonde.
Mm-hmm.
Now, of course, I'm natural. And I ask you, he says, "So you're going blonde now." I said, "Well, to try." He says, "Here's what you need. You need Lady Clairol Ultra Blue." So it's like he's telling me, he's giving me mm-hmm. inside secrets that it's just crazy. Anyway, I took a little bit from him, and I took mm-hmm. a lot of from myself of what I would like to see that maybe I didn't see all that much.
Mm-hmm.
Here was the question, and this is great for any wrestlers who are watching, especially younger wrestlers who don't know a total direction yet.
Mm-hmm.
You're sitting front row ringside. Your ultimate professional wrestling hero is in the ring. What does he look like? What is he wearing? What's his attitude? Et cetera. And you go through all of this, and you're putting together maybe a combination of different people, and that's right. Your ultimate hero. Now, that becomes you. Wow. Because I am my own hero. I wake up in the morning, look in the mirror. I like the person I see. Took a lot to become that person. A lot of pain, a lot of suffering, a lot of loss, a lot of joy, a lot of everything. A lot of things that we would look back on, we general human types, even though I'm, where do you come from, Rock? Yeah, well, little place you may have heard of it. It's 444.2 light years from your planet. It's called the Pleiades. You earthlings are so difficult. I don't know. I must have done something bad to be stuck here with you. Go ahead.
So after, you know, you took inspiration from, you know, different wrestlers to kind of to put yourself together. So then I believe you started in kind of the Southeast area of wrestling. Is that correct? Down in Florida, Georgia? Where did you go when you were ready to get in the ring?
Florida.
Okay.
First match. Well, there's so much that I can tell you about how I called on the phone first. I met the promoter and a couple of the people in the Tampa airport. I never left the Tampa airport. I showed them. I said, I want to show you my stuff. I've got the velvet robes and the Mr. Wonderful and the unique and look, even the boots and stuff. Showed them the stuff, talked about the things that I had and got on the plane and flew back. And then the day after I was graduated from college at the age of 20, somewhere 19, 20, late 19, early 20. Had my first match, and it was in Florida. It was on the West Coast, so of Florida. St. Petersburg, if I recall, Tampa, St. Pete. I'm in the main event. It's the first time I've ever been in a professional wrestling ring. Tag team. And they throw me into the ropes. I've never gone into the ropes before. So if you take a normal person who's not used to being in the ring, and you throw them backward into the ropes, their gluteus maximus is going to go through first, as did mine. Ended up hitting the back of my head onto the concrete floor. And I heard from the people in the ring, from the referee, from the fans, but this was my dream come true. I was in a professional wrestling ring with professional wrestlers, and I just bounced right back. That was so much adrenaline going. I just bounced right back, and everybody was like, he's not dead. Wow. Like when you had seen me in Vegas and you thought everybody thought I was dead.
Right.
And I let them think it. Oh, getting on to other topics. So when it was time to end this match, my partner had taken the opponent out and tagged me. He says, pin him. It's like, we're going to let Rock have the win and he's going to pin the guy. But you see, I had never done this before. I thought it would be, I don't want to just pin him. I want to do an elbow drop on his face first. And apparently he saw stars for quite a while afterward. That was what I was told. But I got to beat him. I got paid. And it was like, that was the beginning. But and from there, I went all over the United States, up into Canada a little bit, worked for Vern Gagne, AWA. Great, great stories, great people. Working for Roy Shire, great promoter. People who did not like him, did not know how to work, did not know how to work for a promoter. Even though we're independent contractors, the promotion, I want to please the promoter. And whatever the promoter said is fine with me. There's an expression from a decade or two back, pin me, pay me.
Right.
So that's part of it too. And in fact, I was doing a Legends Battle Royal with my longtime friend, late friend, Mr. Terry Funk. And I had a friend with me, a lady by the name of Bobby. And I was talking with Terry and he said, we're going to, this Legends Battle Royal, this is going to be a shoot. And I said, oh, hold on. I want you to say that again. When I found Bobby, brought her over. And I said, Terry, tell her what you told me. He says, oh, Battle Royal, going to be a shoot, absolute shoot. And I don't know who's watching this, but I assume that term is going to be understood by most people. Want me to explain it? No, thank you.
No, good.
So we're going to we're going to do our very best. I mean, to make this, not make it real. It is the most real, and our objective, according to Terry, is whatever we have to do to the other people to get over the top rope first. Because if we're the first person out or the 25th person out, it's the same amount of money. So I'm not going to stay in there if I don't have to for 25 or 30 or 40, 45 minutes and be the last person out. So what else do you have? If I have finished a story, which I'm known to do, just bring me back and say, well, what happened after that? I said, oh, yeah. Thank you.
Yes. So I did want to go back, talk a little bit about the AWA. That's a promotion I grew up watching. So can you tell us, you know, a little bit about your time there, working for Vern Gagne and, you know, up in Minnesota, Canada, and, you know, maybe a story from that?
I'll give you a great story.
Okay.
One of the most fun stories that I can tell you. I'm finishing up Georgia Championship Wrestling. And so I'm leaving early in the morning there. I'm driving straight through. I'm going to AWA, which is out of Minneapolis. However, on the way there that night, I'm scheduled to wrestle in Chicago's International Amphitheater.
Mm-hmm.
Back then, I assume it's considerably different now. But back then, we would get a booking slip, little piece of paper, and it would say Monday, Des Moines, Tuesday, you know, whatever, New York, Wednesday, Atlanta, whatever it happens to be. And we would, there would not be a name of an opponent. There would not be a name of a building. And apparently the promotion thought, hey, if these guys are not bright enough to figure out how to get to the building and how to figure out where the building is, then they can come and ask us and we'll make fun of them.
Mm-hmm.
I would drive to a new town whenever I could drive. I would drive there. I would look for posters on my way in. Sometimes I would see my name. A lot of times when I see the posters, there's my name and it says Rock Riddle versus, oh, I don't know, Luthez. When I was in the very, very early stages, and Lou was toward the time that very close to retirement time.
Right.
And I would say, okay, Rock Riddle versus Luthez. I'm hungry, but I'm not going to get anything to eat before the match. I'll eat afterward. And then I'm driving. I would see Rock Riddle versus Pat Patterson. And I would say, oh, I'll grab something to eat. Because that's Pat Patterson said when introducing me and when presenting an award to me back in 2007. He says, this is Rock Riddle. This is the original Mr. Wonderful of professional wrestling. I had some of the best matches of my career with this man. When he first said it, I was waiting for the punchline. It's like, okay, this is going to be really funny. And there was no punchline. And now it's like, okay, I need to hold on to something. That's the greatest. And I told him, I said, that's the greatest compliment that I've ever received. That makes my day, my week, my month, my year, the rest of my life, et cetera. And it's still the greatest compliment I think I've ever received. And he says, well, Rock, I only say it because it's true. I don't have to say anything. And he said it many other times. Chicago's International Amphitheater. I'm there. I'm in awe of the people who were in the dressing room. So there's the Crusher, their Bruiser Crusher toward the latter part of their career. There's Nick Bockwinkel. There's Baron von Raschke. Still a good friend of mine.
Mm-hmm.
And let's see, who else was there? Oh, Bobby Heenan. I'm pretty sure Hennig, Larry.
Larry.
Larry the Axe Hennig was there. So I've got all these people in the dressing room and I'm just, oh, Harley Race, if I didn't say Harley already. Mm-hmm. World champion Harley Race. Wow. And there's Stan Kowalski, the big K. Stan Kowalski says, hey, welcome, kid. I said, thank you. He says, hey, you're new to the territory. Who you wrestling? I said, I have no idea. Because I had no idea. Mm-hmm. He says, well, shoot. Who's got a program? Let me see here. Okay. By the way, is this a PG-rated podcast? Do I need to watch? I'll watch it. He'll say, oh, crap. You got Khosrow Aziri? Oh, man, I'm sorry. Look, you're new. I like you. I got to tell you, this guy, for those of you who don't know, Khosrow Aziri became the Iron Sheik.
Right.
And he says,
that Khosrow Vasiri, he's a bit of an a-hole. And when you know he is, that's what I'm telling this kid is this new kid in the territory. He's a bit of an a-hole. And when you go in there, this guy has to, he's so disrespectful sometimes. If he gets vice-like with you, wants to do like a test of strength by seeing how tight he can be, here's what you got to do, Rob. You push him back against the ropes there. Put him right in the center, back him over them, and hit him. Boom, and I mean hit him hard. That way, he won't be so tight. He'll loosen up. You have a good match.
I said, oh, okay. Heard it, threw it away. Mm-hmm. Okay, I heard. That's fine. And then as I'm going to the ring, my turn, my match, I see someone coming from way on the other side over there.
Mm-hmm.
First time I've ever seen this man. Never met him. And I said, well, he looks like he's in good shape. He's walking confidently. This should be a really good match. So he's confident. He knows his stuff. If he's not confident, he's not going to be walking like that. The muscles are there. The body is there. I said, okay, fine. We get our instructions. Bell rings. We tie up. He's like a vice. I said, okay, well, let's just, why Stan Kowalski told me, Big K told me. So I back him up there over the rope. And I haul off and I hit him. And I hit him pretty hard.
Mm-hmm.
His expression was like, I can't believe you just did that to me. But then it was okay because he wasn't like a vice anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Then later on in the match, he became like a vice again. I said, okay, now we know what we have to do. Put him over the top rope. Hit him. And I hit him as hard as I could without doing potential permanent damage, without sure. breaking something, etc. And for the rest of the match, he is absolutely jaw-dropped, still wrestling,
mm-hmm.
but like with this look of total, utter disbelief. As I'm going back to the dressing room after the match is over, if I recall, it's like upstairs where you have to go up. And I didn't expect anybody to be out watching my match.
Right. But
everybody was out watching my match. Bruiser, Crusher, everybody. And they're like that. They're talking about me. So they're laughing. And these major stars, Harley Race is laughing at me. Is there something, do I have a wardrobe malfunction? I don't understand. So I've got the strange look on my face, like of not understanding. Mm-hmm. The only one who's not out there laughing at me is Stan Kowalski, Big K. So when I go in the dressing room, Stan Kowalski is laughing. He's like rolling on the floor laughing. And he says, I thought they'd bring you back on a stretcher, kid. Do you know who you just wrestled? This guy was the bodyguard for the Shah of Iran. This guy, he's a gold medal winner in the Olympics. He is one of the toughest SOBs you ever know on this face of this planet. I thought they'd bring you back on a stretcher, kid. I said, so, Stan, in other words, welcome to the AWA. He said, welcome to the AWA, kid. What's funny about this is that Khosrow Vasiri was so incredibly good. He could have twisted me into a pretzel at any moment, or a lot worse. 2 years later, he was doing an interview with Bill Apter, and Bill Apter knew this story. And Bill said, Rock, come up here. Tell this story. That was the first time that Khosrow Vasiri, the Iron Sheik, had heard it. And then afterward, we just hugged. And I think there was such mutual respect because he never knew, because I was so, because of punching him twice like that, he never knew how good I was. And I said at that point, I said, just what I said. I said, this man could have twisted me into a pretzel at any moment
or worse. And he just smiled. And so we became pretty good friends until he passed away, unfortunately. Too many are gone. What's your next question, sir?
Well, so after, you know, then you make your way to California. You talked about working for Roy Scheier in the San Francisco area, but then you migrated down to Hollywood, which is, you know, natural for a star of your shine, of course. So why don't you tell us a little bit about working for the LaBelle promotion and then how that, how you made the transition into TV and film, like working on The Gong Show and The Dating Game and America Tonight and some of those things.
Yes, Fernwood Tonight. Okay.
Yep.
Good stuff. So I'm up working for Roy Scheier. Roy Scheier, a lot of people did not like him. He was gruff. He would not sugarcoat things. If he didn't like something you did, he would call you out on it and berate you. And that was fine. With me, that's fine. He's the one who's paying me. If whatever he says,
this is what I'm looking for, Rock. And I like this and this and this and this. That's not quite. You notice that all my imitations are the same voice.
Yes.
Yes. Sorry about that. So
no, I do imitations the same way. Tim will tell you that.
Ah, okay. It was really good working with Roy. Roy liked me to the point that he invited me and a lady friend at that time. He invited us out to Sebastopol, to his ranch, Sebastopol, California. I think I mentioned that to Pat Patterson, and Pat Patterson was his booker and his number one guy. And Pat said, Roy invited you to his ranch? I said, yeah. He says, you're blackmailing him? He never says that he hasn't invited me out there. Yeah. So he liked the fact that I listen. I do what I'm told. If you're paying me, especially the kind of money that Roy Scheier was paying me, I said, absolutely. If Roy said, I want you to go out there and trip and fall on your face before you get into the ring, then we're going to throw you in the ring and you're going to be beaten probably within the first 4 seconds. I would say, okay, whatever you say. Mm-hmm. And I also let him know that I understood that wrestlers see about this much.
Right.
Promoters see 6 months, a year and a half, 2 years down the road. So there's no way that I would question if he asked me to do something that I thought was demeaning or silly or what have you, I might say, okay, not a problem, Roy. Do you have a moment? Can you, because I only see this much and you're brilliant. You see, you got all these pieces that you put together and you can see so far in the future. Could you tell me, is this just because you think this would be fun or is it part of something else? And he would say, yeah, thank you for asking. It's like this is part of the program. And next time we're here, we're going to come back with this. Then we're going to build this into this and this. And this could be like a 10, 12-month program. Mm-hmm. Wow, I'm glad I asked. Okay, so what was your question? How did we get off on the Cow Palace?
Well, it's okay. So you made your way down to Hollywood and the LaBelle promotion, but then how did you get into film and TV from that?
I was in the dressing room talking to Leo Garibaldi, who was the booker, the matchmaker there.
Right.
And that's at, Olympic Auditorium. And I said, you know something, Leo? I'm in the film capital of the world here. I think I'll do some movies and television and stuff. And Leo says, yeah. He said, hundreds of guys have thought that. And I tell you what's going to happen, Rock. 6 weeks or 6 months down the road, you're gonna call me and you're gonna say, Leo, I really need some work. And I'm gonna say to you, Rock, you just lost like 40 pounds and you're too little to be in the business anymore. And I told you it was a pipe dream and you'll never do it. So anyway, here's what we have for tonight, etc. I think it was about 7 weeks later. I am in the dressing room with Leo, and I said, Leo, NBC TV, Thursday, 8 o'clock. Just looked at him. And every time I got a film or television project, I would tell him. And he would just shake his head like, I don't know what to say, Rock. You know, other people starve to death. And well, the first major film I did one little one in Charlotte before I got to Hollywood. But the major film I did, my first real film ever, my first big Hollywood film ever, I had also starring. My billing was also starring with Robin Williams and some other pretty amazing people. Robin Williams, Rock Riddle. Oh, interesting stuff.
Yeah.
Danny DeVito. I mean, I worked with Sly Stallone, of course. I worked with so many great people. And I looked at it like this. Other wrestlers, most people really limit themselves. And there's a pronounced fear of success.
Mm-hmm.
We have to go so far out of our comfort zone. But my comfort zone is not being in my comfort zone, in my old comfort zone.
Right.
So it's basically like, okay, the film and television industry, what is it? It's a business. Okay. Who runs it? Well, let's do some research. Let's start finding out who the producers are, what they do, where I'm in Hollywood. My gosh, can I not run into these people, meet them, and recognize them because I've done the research, go up to them and sincerely thank them for something? Know who they are, know what they look like, maybe ask them a question where they're going to say, how do you know that? It's like if someone came up to me and I'm the producer, and I do have producer credits too, and they could say, Rock, I just wanted to say, man, that the thing you did with the late Michael Jackson, that was so, so great. And so you played the co-pilot in that movie. You really are a pilot. Do you still fly a Grumman Tiger? I said, give me another name for the Grumman Tiger. Grumman American AA-5B? I said, okay, if I'm the producer now, I want to talk to you. Right. You have my attention. So that's the thing that I did. And my intention, my outcome was, how can I be of assistance to you? How can I help make your project come alive on the screen and be the very best that it possibly can for the least amount of money?
Mm-hmm.
And people said, oh, wait a minute. You're not in it for your own self-ego, your own self-aggrandizement, like most so-called actors? No, I'm in it to make the project be the best that it can. When I'm in the ring, I'm there to make that, at least to the best of my ability for what time that I'm out there, I want to make that the best, most memorable match and bring people back to make money for the promoter. I love making the promoters rich. In fact, with Roy Shire, I'll back up. Please bring me back to the film stuff.
Will do.
But with Roy Shire, I was in Tennessee, I think, before Roy. And Tennessee, Nick Gulas. Virtually everyone hated the promoter, Nick Gulas.
Right.
He used to brag about the fact, I'll put it in today's dollars. He used to brag about, I paid $5 million in taxes last year. My gosh, what kind of money is this man making? And he's just paying the wrestlers just barely enough. This is the understanding with all of the boys, of the guys. By the way, boys can be female. Boys can be any nationality. It's a term of endearment. So if you're not a wrestler and you're accepted, or maybe you're newer in the business, if I say, oh, he's one of the boys, or she's one of the boys, right, that means we accept you into our, what would we say, our family?
Yeah.
And it's a very unique, very special family, and you're not going to get invited in unless you way more than deserve it. So,
sure.
So I'm in Tennessee, and I heard about Roy Shire. I'm talking to a couple of guys in the dressing room who get just enough money so they won't quit, and not enough so that they can go somewhere else in the country. That was the idea.
Right.
And I said, I hear there's a guy, Roy Shire, up in San Francisco on the West Coast, and he's got a ton of great talent, and he's paying outrageous amounts of money. And they said, yeah, that's true, especially this one. I'll call him John for this example.
Mm-hmm.
So John says, yeah, he'd got a, he has his own stable. You'll never get in there, Rock. I mean, it would be great to be there because there's money. There's some of the best talent in the world, but he's got his own little stable of wrestlers. He's not looking for anybody else. And, you know, it's a just, I thought I'd tell you because you don't have, you know, now you don't have to waste your time. Okay. I think it was 7 weeks later, I was talking to this guy, John, this wrestler, John in Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, where are you? I haven't seen you around. I said, I'm in the greater San Francisco area. I'm on the East Bay. I'm in Hayward, California. He says, what are you doing there? I said, working for Roy Shire. He said, my God, how did that happen? What did you do? I said, well, I sent him a letter. I mailed an old fashioned letter to him. And he called me and said, come on in. What did you say in the letter? John asked. I said, basically, Mr. Shire, I admire what you're doing. I would like to make you do everything I can to make you considerably more wealthy. I can draw money for you, and I'd love to have that opportunity to do whatever I can to make this the best promotion. To make this promotion even better, something like that.
Right.
John said, oh, my gosh, Rock, I could never say anything like that to Roy Shire. I said, I know.
And that's why you
I'm
were
here, and yep. You're in Tennessee starving.
Yep.
But that's the norm. We just, so many of us tend to hold ourselves back. The film business, one of the first things that I was told about, I maybe in the dressing room, someone says, oh, there's this new show. You should try out for it. You're crazy enough to do it. It's called The Gong Show. I said, oh, well, let me watch it. Okay. I got it. I put together an act for them where I sang badly, broke boards with my hands and over my forehead, 2 inches of pine. Boom.
Mm-hmm.
And everything was 2 inches to make it real. I built a dummy. I did a flying elbow drop on the dummy.
Mm-hmm.
And did all of this stuff. When I auditioned it, they said, this is really good. Okay, I think Chuck's going to like this. Then I met Chuck Barris and he really liked it. And every time I would see him, no matter what he was doing, he would take time out of his day. He would say, okay, give me 15 minutes. And he would say, Rock, sit down. What's happening in your life? What are you doing now? And tell me what you have upcoming. And we talked about me working with him as a running gag, which mm-hmm. did not take place. And it was not, he had offered, and I had other things going on that I was not able to do it. But he did do 7 shows for him. And one of the things he said to me was really amazing. He says, Rock, I know a lot of people. You're the first person I've ever met who totally understands the concept of this show. I said, well, thank you very much. I did an escape routine where I'm singing and I'm El Magnifico with the sombrero, this enormous sombrero that was mm-hmm. given to me by my very good friend who's no longer with us, Mr. Rowdy Roddy Piper. Got so many stories about Roddy. So I'm wearing that. I've got the crazy outfit under it. I've got tennis shoes on that are sort of strange looking, and a straight jacket and a magician's assistant female. I usually had one of those. I had one of those in 3 or 4 of the acts I did. So she would put the straight jacket on me. Then I'm singing. I can't do it now. As she put the belt underneath. And afterward, she held up a curtain, a black curtain in front of me. So mm-hmm. you could see me struggling against the curtain. And then I fell through the curtain down those few stairs.
Right.
And you could see that I was unable to free myself from the straitjacket. They went to commercial. Chuck came over. He says, Rock, I like it. I like you being here. It cannot be about you anymore, but I'd like to have you there for the rest of the show on the floor. I said, fantastic. I said, and I'm
I'm a total professional. I would never draw attention away from anything else, except when you decide to back out. Your camera backs out, and they see there's El Magnifico Rock Riddle guy who's right. still in the straight jacket and can't get out. So that was very good.
It sounds like, you know, in both your wrestling career, your acting career, and just in general, you know, and this really holds true to any profession, make yourself indispensable, right? Make yourself like a utility player that they want to have around. Learn about the business before you're going into it, whether, you know, it's wrestling or acting. That's how you put yourself in Worcestershire. That's how you put yourself in touch with everyone in Hollywood to get where you were and to kind of have a second career after wrestling.
Yep, absolutely. Anytime when I was in college, for example, anytime I wanted or felt like I needed a job to produce some more income, I would decide, where would I like to work? I would go in places. I would meet the owner as a customer.
Mm-hmm.
I would talk with the person. And I would say, well, give this guy's name, the name of George. I would say, George, if I come in early in the morning, you're here. If I come in late in the evening, you're here. I mean, do you ever go home? He says, well, I'm putting in like, 65 hours a week. I said, well, it's a great thing. Good for you. Good for you. And it's a great thing you're not married. Oh, you are. And she understands all of this. Oh, she's not happy with it. George, do you have any kids? Yeah. How old are they? Oh my gosh. You got a 3 and a 5-year-old. When do you ever see them? You never see them except when they're asleep, do you? And you're struggling to make this business really go and grow, and you can't afford to hire somebody. And if you can, you cannot find anybody who's like 1/3 as good as you, even if they have a lot of training. So you're in a strange position, difficult challenge. Tell you what, I can fix it. Rock, I just told you I don't have any money. Did I ask for money? Give me 30 days. 30 days, I will turn your business around. I will increase it to the point that you can take time and see those kids grow up and take time mm-hmm. and see if you can save that relationship, if it's worth saving. And if not, I could introduce you to some people.
Mm-hmm.
But I have to turn everything into a joke. I said, after 30 days, if I've not done it, you got 30 days worth of fantastic work done, and it didn't cost you anything. If I turn it around the way that I know I can, look at your finances, look at the amount of additional income that's come in over those 30 days, make me an offer, give me a bonus, and then we'll talk about salaries from there on. I went back years later. When I was 16, I worked at a Tasty Freeze, Jim's Tasty Freeze in Graham, North Carolina. And I got to be friendly with the whole family. I looked at the Jim and Barbara Covington, the owners, as my like second parents, or the parents that with their senses of humor that I wanted.
Mm-hmm.
Got to be friends with the two sons who ended up taking over the business. Very interesting. I had been gone for a few years, and I went back when Jim and Barbara were still alive. And it was a slow time. I said, okay, business-wise at that time of day. I said, how's business? They said, oh, really good. I said, yeah. So you've got about as much business as you can possibly handle? Yeah, yeah. So that's great. What would it take? What would you have to do? I know you're at full capacity, but what would it take? What would you have to do to increase that by, say, 35%? Oh, well, already. No, seriously, think about it. What would it take?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, gee, I guess we'd have to hire, like, what do you think, Jimmy? I don't know. What do you think, David? We'll probably hire another 5 people. Can increase the orders of all this stuff. And so they're thinking about it. And I said, but you're already full capacity. How can you do that? They said, yeah, you're right. I said, I can do that for you. I want $100,000 cash up front, and I want 10% or whatever I said,
I think it was 10%. 10% of the increased sales for the first 2 years. And then I will retire off of this money, off of this company. And then I just shut my mouth and I watched them as they looked at each other. And I can tell they are considering this, seriously considering this. And then at that point, I said, okay, now, thank you very much for considering it. And I knew if I gave, I know if I give you enough time, you'll be happy to do this. However, I'm not able to do it for you. I mean, I'm capable, but I'm not going to give up everything I have going on the West Coast. I've got so much going, I can't do it. However, just the fact that I told you and I got you thinking 35% more, I promise you, your business is going to increase just because you've seen something that you could not see before. And it did.
Right.
So
there you go.
Next question, sir.
Well, it's actually time for us to kind of wrap up here. So
Buy more time.
You'll buy more time. Well, okay. I'll give you Venmo information. We are excited. When do you think your book will be coming out? Simply Wonderful.
Rock Riddle's Simply Wonderful.
Rock Riddle's Simply Rock Wonderful. Riddle, I am my own hero.
Maybe we'll redo the
cover. Yeah, we'll work on that.
But it's Rock, R-O-C-K, Riddle, R-I-D-D-L-E, apostrophe S, Simply Wonderful. So it could be read two different ways. Rock right. Riddle's Simply Wonderful or Rock Riddle's Simply Wonderful.
Gotcha. I like that.
I am so incredibly busy. Mm-hmm. I had expected to have everything done and it be published this summer. I am so busy right now that I'm going to be very, very realistic. And it's going to be out by the end of the year, hopefully before. I'm also a perfectionist. And being a perfectionist, I rewrite things. When I do press releases, I'm also a publicist. When I do press releases, it takes 4 days to write a press release. Every word must be perfect. Every word has meaning. Anything that you do, if you could do it better, then it's not good enough.
Right.
Should we leave on that note or should I talk about other things?
I think that's a good note to end on, sir. And we do appreciate your time today. And personally, I look forward to seeing you in Waterloo, July 18th through 20th at the Trago Staz Hall of Fame. And other folks on this event might see you at the CAC later in August in Las Vegas. So thank you for joining us today, sir. We appreciate it.
Every day above ground is a good day.
I agree. All right, now we're back. Well, I mean, like I said, that was a lot of talking from Rock, but he did have some good stuff to say. I am going to say one thing he mentioned, and I've actually incorporated it into a leadership presentation I'm doing beginning of June. This is an analogy of the bumblebee. And I really liked that. I wrote that down when he said that, and I was not expecting to get inspiration to that level from Rock Riddle. And he talked about how the bumblebee is aerodynamically not built to fly. But you know what? The bumblebee doesn't know that. So it goes out and it does it. So I think we should all try to have a little bit of that bumblebee attitude sometimes. Ignore our limitations and just give it our best no matter what. So thank you, Rock Riddle, for, you know, maybe I should bring in Rock Riddle in as a leadership's guest speaker sometime or something. Maybe not.
I hope that you give him plenty of time.
Yeah, you need a 4-hour block.
I was gonna say I've been dying to come on UT for a while now, and I finally get the invitation, and Rock Riddle took up all the time.
Yeah, well, you know, that's what happens. It's what he does. But I don't. Anybody else have anything poignant to say about Rock Riddle and his soliloquy?
I'll tell you. You know, I mean, being the T-shirt promo guy, I mean, when I hear Rock Riddle talk, I just hear T-shirt stuff, because by God, if that guy hooked up with TKOstore.com, that's TEEKOstore.com, I want a Rock Riddle T-shirt that underneath a picture of him on the front says, I am my own hero, because that is the greatest line of all time. I would buy that actually before I buy the Uncharted Territory shirts, which you can also get at tkostore.com. But that would probably be a easy buy for me. I'll tell you that.
Very good. Mike?
Well, I mean, I love Rock. You know, we're talking, off camera or pre-camera or whatever we did before the recording started. But, I absolutely love the guy. My kids love the guy. He's better in person than he was even on the Road to Galacticon virtual con. He's just one of those characters that you really can't appreciate him until you've met him, because he's always on.
He is indeed. Corey?
Of course, I wasn't on the Road to Galacticon live, but I've seen the footage. And I like how in the video, he's got his background. If you weren't there, fans, I mean, maybe I'll just show a clip of his background, because when he sent in video for Chad's birthday video, he had that same background. It's just like, this is his virtual set. He's just all, like you said, he's always on. I love it. I love the, and I just have to say, when I reached out to Rock, asking to be part of Chad's birthday video, I didn't know if he'd respond. He did. And he's like, yep, what do you want? And just put it together. It was awesome. He was one of the quickest to respond and the most helpful, most creative. So Rock Riddle always has a place in my heart.
he is a great guy. And yes. I mean, it's just, I'm excited he's part of the Phil Singer Games and the Legends of Wrestling, because you need guys like that. I have him teaming with Bobby Heenan in my 70s Georgia thing, and there's these couple of loudmouth heels tagging up, winning the tag belts, and doing great things. So he's a great guy, and the first time I saw him at the CAC, like I said, he won the Battle Royal that year. I'm like, who is this guy? And he walks around in his suit, and he's always on. He's always, you don't see Rock Riddle in a t-shirt. It's never happened. He's always got some flashy stuff on. The next year I saw him in the Battle Royal, and basically he got picked up for a back suplex and just thrown over the top, took a flat back to the floor, and I thought he was dead. And that's when I truly fell in love with Rock Riddle, said, we need this guy in Legends of Wrestling. Let's make it happen. And honestly, that's how he started coming out to Waterloo, was the connection we made at CAC. Yeah. So it's great to have those moments. And he's a fun guy, and he likes to talk. God bless him. And I'm excited for his book. I'm excited for his book. It'll be something.
I don't know if he can actually finish typing it. That's the problem.
So I just wonder if he's
cram in there.
Well, I just wonder if he's like talking and, if somebody's having to translate all this and write it down or type, if they can keep up with it. It could be as big as Boogie Woogie's book, which is like 700 pages. I mean, Boogie Woogie has a book. It's as big as the Bible.
I don't know. I'm looking at Lord of the Rings over there on the bookshelf, and I'm thinking that's got nothing on Rock.
Oh.
This might be like volume one.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Of the Rock Riddle story.
Yeah. It covers the first three years of his life,
Mm-hmm.
Covers potty training.
Yeah.
I have not read Boogie's book, but having ridden in a car with Boogie, I can believe that he has a 700-page book when it took him 45 minutes to answer Stu's question about Virginia.
Oh my God. Where were we? Virginia. Oh, yeah, Virginia. That was amazing. Well, I guess, what else did people think of the Road to Galacticon event? Mike, how'd you think it went?
Well, I think it went good. I had some family stuff going on, so I couldn't be on the whole time, unfortunately. But I thought that, it seemed to be good. I know some people, again, we'll get back to disappointed with the lack of COTG. Tom didn't do a Q&A, and there were some, people who were unhappy with that. But I think that, it was, in general, I think, good. I think people liked the Albright reveal. I think they liked the Indies reveal. I think it was all... it was a good con, I think. And it's always good to get people together. I mean, I think that you guys have talked about this on the podcast before. We've talked about it on that other podcast that used to happen regularly. These virtual cons are really a great thing, because we used to have one physical get together a year at Galacticon. And, it was wonderful and it was great. But there's only so many of us who could make it. There were only so many of us who could go. The great thing about these virtual cons is we get, no matter where you are, you can actually attend this and you can be part of this. And I think it's been a great thing for bringing the community together. So I think this was another success.
I agree. Tim, what'd you think? Any other highlights for you?
I got on late and then had something else came up and I had to leave and then came back right when Rock was starting and then stayed through the end until the auction. It's always cool to see what Todd comes up with for the auction. And I think, you know, he's always got a bunch of interesting items and, so it'll be kind of cool to see what he does put together for Galacticon, especially with it being the 35th and Jamestown. But, yeah, it's just really cool. Like everybody said, you know, it's really nice having the whole community around and you know, it kind of keeps everybody connected, even when, you know, we're all playing games in our own little fiefdoms here, you know, but it's kind of nice to have these get togethers every now and then just to, you know, make sure everybody's still breathing and having fun with the game.
Good use of the word fiefdom. Corey, did you have any other comments having viewed some of the footage and listened to the audio?
Yeah, I mean, just in general with these conventions, I think it's cool that, you know, this was kind of something started, you know, kind of pandemic because we couldn't get together for Galacticon 2020, and that we've just kept it going, you know, much like this podcast in a sense, where, you know, our weekly phone conversations, watching matches turned into something that we're sharing with everybody on a weekly basis or, you know, somewhat weekly basis. So just kind of cool the things that, you know, coming out of an awful thing like a pandemic, that some good traditions came out of it. So just, I don't know, I just find that really cool. And kind of like Tim said, kind of cool to check up on people and, you know, we're not just reading posts or emails from each other, but actually getting to see each other, even if we can't be in person together.
I agree. And speaking of people in person, live in person, we have Todd, the Tournament Master, Jorshell. Todd, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. Sorry I'm late, guys.
That's okay.
Better late than never, I guess.
Yes. Say, is that a Marriott room you're staying in right now?
It is a Marriott
room. I could tell.
Yes. Yes, and right next to Marriott Global Headquarters, actually.
Ooh. Where are the global headquarters?
In lovely Bethesda, Maryland.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Okay, very good. Very good. So, Todd, we were just, we listened to Rock Riddle, wax poetic again, and we're just talking about the Road to Galacticon event. What are your memories and your highlights from the event, and, you know, what did you think of Rock Riddle and his effervescence?
Well, Rock was exactly as I thought there, which is, you know, and I really enjoyed the hearing him there. You know, having, you know, the full introduction and everything up front, which he was nice enough to do for us twice, once on the recording and once before that. But I really enjoyed having Rock on there. You know, that was one guy who just, you know, did so many great, you know, we had some good, you know, exchanges with him at the Hall of Fame, you know, such a personality. I just thought, you know, the fans that didn't get a chance to get rocked at the Hall of Fame in the past can get rocked virtually here. So I'm glad we got to do that. But I think overall everything went really, really fun. I think we had some great tournaments up front, and, you know, big thanks to Greg Hunter, TK, and Troy for helping out with those as always. You know, Greg does a great job with all the commentary there, and really glad to have him on the helping us out. And yeah, I think everything with the auction as well, you know, so glad that we get to continue to do that. We, you know, we started that first one at that Galacticon in 2020 when we first did this, and didn't, we were like, all right, well, let's, you know, TNT needs our help. Let's do something. And it's blown up from there. And so I'm glad that we're able to, you know, find a, you know, great charity that I think means so much to the rest of the community.
Well, you know, as always, I greatly appreciate all the hard work that you put into that auction and all the fundraising that everybody contributes, and just all the hard work you put into the whole event, because it was a good event. We appreciate you bringing us all together in that way. So thank you again for working on that. I mean, I don't know if there's anything else we have tonight. It's kind of a short taping for us, but we have, you know, there's a lot of Rock Riddle in the middle here. So that's really what you're getting is the meat in that sandwich, so to speak. That was kind of weird. Anyways, we'll probably wrap this thing up and start heading her home. So Mike, do you have any shout outs for tonight?
First off, a shout out to you guys for all these episodes. It's so fun to actually listen to you. I was actually catching up on my, I was behind on my Uncharted territory listening. So I, finally caught, I'm catching up. I'm only one episode down now, but no, it's shout out to you guys. This is a great, great podcast for everybody. Shout out to Todd for all the great stuff he did for setting up Road to Galacticon. There's a lot of work that goes into it. Everybody knows the auction. They love the auction, but it's Todd does yeoman's work, getting that all put together. And, you know, a shout out to everybody who just listens and, you know, enjoys this podcast, enjoys the game, because it's just a lot of fun. And I'm just glad that I got to interact with some people, at Road to Galacticon, but I'm really looking forward to Jamestown and, getting to see people. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Thank you. Todd, what do you have?
Well, I'll give a, I didn't get to give a weather report before, but I'll give a shout out.
Please.
I'll give a shout out to the gorgeous weather that we had today. When I've been inside all day, and then unfortunately it's going to be raining when I'm have outdoor activities planned later this week, with some team outings, but you know, that's okay. We'll survive. I'm going to give a shout out to Mike. He gave a shout out to me. I'm going to give one right back to him. Shout out to Mike for taking, doing all the mailings, so I don't have to do that for a little while. So thank you, Mike, for doing that and taking that on there. I know it is a lot to do that, and then you know we got the big Galacticon one coming up. It's gonna be should be a good time with all that. It's some really cool releases for that. But I did want to thank Mike for all that he does for keeping things going and kind of taking on some slack for me, as I've had some other things kind of going on this spring and early summer. And then just also want to just say, really looking forward to seeing everybody that's going to come up to Galacticon. We're going to get tickets up pretty soon. I'm really looking forward to see. I know a lot of people coming up there, a lot that have not been up there before. And I think it's going to be a really great time. I'm looking forward to seeing who else that I don't know is going to be there that's going to show up, but it's going to be a great party and really looking forward to seeing everybody. Unfortunately, we won't see you, Chad, but I know you will be there in spirit.
I will be. I'll be at a wedding, so I might have a lot involved with some spirits that night, but yeah. You know, one thing we didn't mention is the super cool Galacticon logo that's going to be adorning on a t-shirt. And Todd, you missed Tim's t-shirt plug, but I think a shirt that cool. Tim, would you like to talk about that t-shirt at all?
It's a great shirt. I believe it's originally from Lyndhurst, Ohio, if I remember the postal stamp back in the day. It's the original logo that was on the mailings, the envelope that your Champions of the Galaxy stuff would come in back in the late 80s when Tom still lived in Ohio around Cleveland. And it is just super cool. I really like it. I think it's a great kind of throwback. It's a great way to kind of celebrate 35 years. And also with it being in Jamestown, I think it's just an absolutely wonderful thing. Whoever came up with that, you know, kudos to you, because that was just a really good call. And I remember when that got unveiled, I was like, damn it, I got to get me one of those shirts. I mean, that was my first thought. And, you know, God knows, and hopefully somebody will make the 3 cents off of that we're making off of ours. So, I don't know either. I don't know. I haven't seen a dime, to be honest. But I'm sure they're selling like hotcakes. So, check that out. Check out the logo. It's really cool. Get yourself a t-shirt or something with that logo on there, because I just think it's a great way to celebrate the game and just a great callback for the 35th anniversary.
Yeah, I know Tom mentioned, he's like, oh, we should do something throwback wise. And I was like, oh, what if we use some type of logo? And I remembered that old original logo and taking that, adapting that, and kind of gave Pike, you know, oh, haven't we fit this here, that there? And yeah, I think we had the first one that was all in blue. And then Tom mentioned something, oh, maybe we should bring some red just to have something else there. And I think the last little thing we had, I think there was two little stars on there. I'm like, oh, wait, we should put a little red and blue dice and have that as 3 and 5. And that was the last little thing I think I brought together there.
That was beautiful.
Yeah. I think
a lot of attention to detail. I like that.
Yeah, no, it was, but it came together quickly. Like it was like one of those, like, oh, we want something nostalgic. You came up with that. We got the colors, and it was all just sort of, I what, 48 hours, 96 hours, something like that.
I think once, yeah, we kind of gave them one thing. It took a little while, but he got started. Once he got started, and there was like, you know, he got most of it right away, and it was just playing with some details from there. But I think that's been really cool the last 3 years that we have some really unique logos to like the area that we're in and whatnot. I've had a lot of fun kind of working with Pike on that. And he does amazing work. I mean, it's just, mm-hmm. It's so cool how he's able to adapt those things.
He does indeed. All right. Tim, what do you got?
Well, I think that kind of makes up, since I didn't do the t-shirt promo last week. I got a double in here.
There you go.
That works out well. You know, it all evens out. It all comes out in the wash somewhere.
Exactly.
Hey, and for people who think, hey, I'd really like to join that Destroyer Park Golf League that you may have mentioned early on. Well, it's not too late, because even if you miss the first week, which will be before this episode drops on Wednesday, you can still join. You need to, it's a 12-week league. You got to have 10 scores in. You can make up a week, you know, on another day. If you're not going to be there on Wednesday night, it's Wednesdays at 6:00 in Akron, New York at Destroyer Park Golf. If you feel like it, hey, show up. You know, it's a lot of fun. We have a small but mighty group, and we have a lot of fun, and there's a party at the end of the league. So there you go. Week 12, it's pretty much play around and then go have a beer and some cookies or whatever else kind of food we've got catered in. So it's a lot of fun, and hopefully somebody can find that and take advantage of it, because it's a great time.
Are there buffalo wings with the food? I mean,
No, you know, the only time we ever have wings is when people come in from out of town and say, oh, we got to have wings. So then we take them to Duff's or Anchor Bar or someplace. But that's pretty much the only time we ever eat wings here. For the most part.
In Buffalo, did they just call them wings, not buffalo wings?
I've heard both. I don't think it really matters here. I mean, you know, we're pretty laid back. I mean, for the most part, it's wings, but you'll hear somebody occasionally throw the name in there just, you know, just for kicks.
Just to make sure.
Just so people aren't thinking, you know, they're not like, you know, Dubuque wings or something like that.
Right.
You know?
We wouldn't want that.
No, you don't want to do those Dubuque wings. Those things could kill you.
They're rough.
They leave the feathers on. It's really bad.
Oh, don't joke about that. I had a bad set of wings once with feathers on. Freaking well, gross.
There you go. There you go. Well, hey, All right. I just want to thank everybody for listening. Hopefully you enjoyed Rock Riddle. He is a character. Come out and meet him in July at the Tragos Thes Hall of Fame. Always a good time, and hopefully we'll see a bunch of people there. Other than that, you know, hey, have a great week, and we'll be back again next time.
All right, thank you, Tim. Corey,
thank you for hosting, Chad. Thanks, Mike and Todd, for joining us as well. Good to see you again, and thank you, Tim, also. I'll give attention to the other Phil Singer Games content providers out there. Of course, Grandpa Choco and the Solo Promoter YouTube channel. Dave Little at Heartland Championship Wrestling, Brock Atkinson at Brockster Builds, as well as Brock and Mike's Filsinger Games Character Spotlight, Brad Plays 81 on YouTube, and Lee Longpre's YouTube channel. Thank you, promoters, for putting out content on a regular basis. And even though he's probably not listening, I'll thank Rock Riddle as well for being on the Road to Galacticon and being entertaining as always. As Tim said, come out to Waterloo, meet him in person. You know, you can see him at the bar, see him around town. And no matter where he is, like we said, he'll be in a suit and he'll be on, and he's always a lot of fun. So I hope everybody's doing well, and thanks so much for clicking, listening, and downloading.
All right. Thank you, Corey. I wanted to give a shout out to everyone who took time to listen and comment on episode 178. Kevin T. Butcher, Todd the Tournament Master, Jay, TTX, Ellie Wraith, the BMAC, Matt Throwing Toasters, and The Faction. Thank you for taking time out of your day to listen and make a comment. We appreciate it. We hope everyone liked the episode, regardless of not if you made a comment. And yeah, I think that's all we got this week. So we're going to wrap this thing up here, and we will talk to you next week. Next week, we're going to have one of our Club Galactica Super Report review episodes. Yay! The most popular episodes we've ever had. The only ones that are really worth a hoot. No, I like the Legends of Boxing. I didn't get a comment on that, you know. I like the Legends of Boxing review as well. So thanks again to Gary Brown for being on for that. But everybody out there, stay safe, be excellent to each other, and we'll talk to you next time on episode 180 of the Uncharted Territory podcast. Peace out.
Hey, promoters, it's Corey again, and we would love to hear from you. Please send us your questions, topic suggestions, or any other comments, and we might include your audio in a future episode of Uncharted Territory. There's two ways you can do it. You can go to tinyurl.com/UNCTER. Again, tinyurl.com/UNCTER. You can click the message button and record up to a 1-minute message, and we can include that in a future episode. Or you can email us either audio or a written question at our email address, utpodcast2020@gmail.com. Again, utpodcast2020@gmail.com.
Want to show your friends that you listen to Uncharted Territory? Well, head on over to our store at tkostore.com/collection/uncharted-territory. You can choose from a shirt or hoodie with Travis Heckel's great podcast cover artwork, or a shirt with a design inspired by one of our favorite bands. While there, check out the other great merchandise at TKO, including shirts of several of the top MMA fighters, including Bigfoot Silva, Tim Sylvia, Ensign Inoue, and more. Need a shirt made for your event or organization? Contact TKO, run by Filsinger Games promoter Justin Bulka, aka Pike Mojo, to place your order. Again, that's tkostore.com, TEEKOstore.com.
Insert wolf music.
Tell you about so when we had a when we had the second
I'm not sure
vault,
I want to hear the story.
The second vault in Algona, there was a nightclub underground next to us. So they had gone over there after the wrestling show, and Travis said something about taking a bumps in the ring, and the musician is like, "You guys do coke in the ring?" Woo!
Wow!
There's an Easter egg. And speaking of people in person, we have live with us in person, Todd, the tournament. Fuck.
Now, am I going to hang on here and we're going to talk, or am you going to call me back or what?